You can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of a husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoils. She will do him good and not evil in the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hand. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. She considereth the field and buy it, and the fruit of her hand were planted a vineyard. She gathered her loins with strength and strengthens her arm. She perceived that her merchandise is good. A candle goeth not out by night. She lay her hands to the spindles, and her hands hold the distaffs. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She make herself covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he's seated among the elders of the land. She make fine linen and sell it, and deliver girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. She looked well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praised her. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. It's interesting reading these because I love the topic, virtuous woman. And every Christian woman is deemed and is expected to be this in this role. And I can give testimony of many women in this place and many women of faith who have been like this. The saying is that behind every successful man, there is a woman. That's the saying. But he's wrong, exactly. He's wrong. Because he's not behind, he's beside. Because God created women as a support, as a side, to walk side by side with every man. And that is what God has said. And I know Gordon is saying amen to that because Gordon has experience. Gordon can tell us from now how great Marjorie was and how lovely God has done. And
it says the woman had the distaff and the spindle.
Exactly.
Well, Marjorie was a cotton spinner and produced masses and masses
of it. Exactly. So it's interesting those, when you read those words and you see what God, the plan of God for women. And this morning, I in preparing this message, I sat down and looked at the role of women in church development. And I kept saying, look, it's been great. In both the Old and New Testament, there are various records of women. The first record that came to my mind was Deborah in the Bible. When I was young, I love reading that part of it when the man said, she was a prophetess, and she said to the man, go to her. And the man said, oh, come on, I can't go to that war. And she's like, unless you go with me, I can't go to that war. And, you know, you expect then there's a man of valor, the warriors, the everything. But the glory of that war, the Bible says, was given to Deborah because she went into that war with them. And God brought victory. Many roles in the Old Testament. And when you read the lineage of Jesus Christ, interestingly, women that were less expected were in the lineage. You know that woman that saved the spies from Israel, exactly Rahab. God used her to save them. She became part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. You know Ruth in the Bible, a woman from the Moabite tribe. became part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. But there's something so unique about these people. They love God. And they love the people of God. That is a major thing. The first thing a woman should seek is not a man, but to seek God. And most successful women that you've seen are those that seek God first. They seek God first because they believe that once God is there, then they will get the right thing. It's like seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added. So our modern day young people, this is what we can encourage them to think about, seeking God first. And God, when you seek God, it will not disappoint. In the New Testament, the story of the Bible will not be complete without what Kay has read to us this morning. And not just that, Elizabeth was the first woman that was mentioned in the New Testament. She was a wife of a priest. But you know one thing that endears me to Elizabeth is the fact that she reasoned the same way as her husband. When the husband had already received the vision of a child and they eventually had the child, the husband was deaf and dumb. He couldn't talk. And they asked her to give, she gave them a name and said, we will call this child John. In the Jewish tradition, it's not, the woman doesn't have any right to give a child a name. And they said, no, let us ask the man to give the name. And when the man wrote the name, it was the same name that she has mentioned, John. So that means that she was working in the same mind because they have the mind of God. A woman, to become a virtuous woman, must have the mind of God. So all these things are showing in Mary's case, the mother of Jesus Christ. She was told the most unbelievable instructions in life. A case can be related to that of Abraham, when God told Abraham to look for a city whose founder and builder, Abraham, the Bible says Abraham was looking for a city whose founder and builder was God. A virgin was told, you have a child. And it's like, hang on a minute. The first thing you think is, where's that going to happen? How's that going to happen? How will people look at me? Because that is another thing about it. What will people say about me? But as Kay has read, she did not look at that. She did not look at how people would look at her. She was obedient to God and to the will of God. And she gave birth to our Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And going further, in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38, when Jesus was born and was introduced to the temple, there was a woman waiting there. Her name was Hannah. She was in the temple. The Bible says she was a prophetess. She was in the temple. What is unique about that woman is that she did not leave the temple until she saw Jesus. That's what the Bible says. She did not leave the temple. So this woman was tarrying and waiting for the salvation of Israel. But she thought it was just the salvation of Israel, but eventually the whole world became saved through this Jesus Christ that was born, who became the Savior of the world. That is Luke chapter 2, verse 36 to 38. In my own childhood experience as a child growing up in the church, because I virtually all my life I grew up in the church, I've seen that for church growth, it is women and children. When you go out, then we used to do outdoor evangelism where you set up and evangelize out there. The men will pass by you and will just look at you like, but most people that turn up are the children and the mothers. And they turn up and they form bulk of the church. And while I was home, I was talking with one of my pastor childhood friend, And we're talking about a particular man who has become an elder in the church. And we're just joking. We sat down there and we're joking. We're like, do you remember that man? I said, yes, I do remember. His wife-to-be was the one that was in church. And the woman was to do a baptism. And they said, the pastor then was very strange. He was like, I won't do baptism for you except your husband comes to church. And it was so strange. And she then had to go and walk with the man to get him to church. And today the man is strong in the Lord because she was the first person to come to church and she was able to bring the man into church. Right. Which was an interesting story. And this is the things that we experienced as a child growing up. In church planting, as a student, when we were out there, one of the things that happened was that when you go out to communities to preach, because of the poverty, their children will flock into church because at the end of the service they will have biscuits, they will have drinks and everything too, and they come into church. But what you realize is that when they come in, their mother comes in with them. Because their mother comes to pick them from the church. And gradually, the church grows. So I'm saying this to show the importance of our mothers and women in church. As we celebrate Mothering Sunday, we just want to reflect on this and say, thank you to every mother who has contributed to the development of Christianity and faith in our world. There's so many examples here that I'm going to go through this morning. In Luke chapter 8 from verse 1 to 3, three important women were mentioned in Jesus' ministry. And they were Mary Magdalene, another one was Joanne, and another one was Suzanne. Joanne, interestingly, works for Herod. Let's look at that, Luke chapter 8. Because some of these things are just things that we overlook when we're talking about women in church. It says, Luke chapter 8 from verse 1 to 3, and it came to pass afterward that he went to every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. That is the 12 disciples. And certain women that which was healed of evil spirit and infirmity, Mary Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanne, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. Joanne was working in Herod's palace, and you know that Herod was the enemy of the gospel. But God was already using those women for the message of the gospel. So when you see those things, it just makes you look at the uniqueness of Jesus' ministry. That even in the palace with the high and mighty, you have Jesus' disciples, and some of them were women. What is unique about them was that they ministered unto Jesus with their substance. They were giving their substance to Jesus, which was interesting. So they were able to sustain Jesus' ministry. Sometimes you ask yourself, how did Jesus' ministry get sustained? They were able to sustain Jesus' ministry with their substance. Then we have, the next one, we have Mary and Martha. Interestingly, I put them down as sister of Lazarus, but they were actually not Lazarus' sister. They were from the same town as Lazarus, which is called Bethany. And one thing that is unique about them is that they received Jesus into their home. They received Jesus into their home. What does that mean? What does that mean? Receiving Jesus into their home. So when, you know, it's like accepting the personality of Jesus Christ, accepting God's presence in your home, opening your door to the Savior of the world. They received Jesus into their home. These were women. And the other thing they did was that they were listening to Jesus' teaching. Why is that so unique? That is unique because in the Jewish tradition, women are not taught the Torah. It was only men that were taught the Torah. So women do not have the knowledge of the word. But then there was a new commandment, a new gospel that came through Jesus Christ. And Jesus was teaching them beyond the Torah. He was bringing a new covenant, a new message. And these women were so interested in the message that they were able to receive Jesus in. So, as they continued in their journey with Jesus, in John chapter 11, verse 1, when they were to be in which was the Lazarus story, when they went to introduce the Lazarus story and the Lazarus town, this is the way they introduced it. They introduced it as Lazarus town, and it was called the town of, they introduced Bethany as the town of Mary and his sister Martha. So, uniquely, the name of these women were identified as the name, as the town where Jesus had a presence. They were women of faith. Remember, this was the same Mary that anointed Jesus with oil and used her hair to clean up Jesus' feet. All these things, why am I pointing out these things? I'm pointing out these things to show that in Jesus' ministry, Jesus have a special uniqueness for the women that followed. Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever, anyone that soever believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life." The opportunity was open to everyone. And many of these women have given us example of faith in Christ Jesus. And that is what I'm encouraging us this morning. I'm saying, we're reflecting on this and saying, thank God for these women who were involved in Jesus' ministry. Because not only that they supported the ministry with their substance, they opened their door to him, for him to live with them, they also listened to him. And in listening to Jesus' teaching, they were established. Remember how Mary and Martha were discussing with Jesus. They were saying, "We know, this is a good thing about them. We know that you are the resurrection and the life. We know." How do they know these things? Because they've listened to him. "We know that you are the resurrection and the life. We know that at the end of the day, that we will rise up with you and you will be there." But Jesus, further in that Lazarus' resurrection, Jesus further showed them that it is not just the end of life, it is now. Because the kingdom of God has come down to reign with man. And they grew up in faith and they journeyed with God. Jesus' resurrection was also proclaimed by Mary Magdalene and women and other women. That's the way the Bible describes it in Luke chapter 24, verse 1 to 2. And 8 to 10. They were the first people that went there. And what was their ministry? They were going there to prepare Jesus' body. Unique ministry. The closeness to the Savior. They were going there. And they were happy to do it. And when they got there, and the body was no longer there, Jesus then appeared to them. As this morning I was being told that there's a new film about Mary Magdalene, but I don't think it's a gospel. It has the same connection as what the Bible says. But she was then able to go back to Peter and the other disciples and tell them. You know what is unique about that as well? I'll say this. What's unique about that? It's another Deborah story. The disciples were hiding away. They can't even go to see the body of Jesus Christ. It was the women that went to see the body of Jesus Christ. The disciples were too timid and too afraid to identify with the dead Christ. But the women were willing to go there and clean the body and prepare the body. What a unique role they played. And as they did this, they then realized that he's risen as he has promised and as he has told them. And they went back and told the disciples. It took How many sightings for the disciples to believe that Jesus has risen? Even one of them said, until Philip, he said, until I see that nailed hand. Don't tell me the story of Jesus Christ's risen until I see the nailed hand. But these women believed as they go, as they saw at the tomb. They believed that Jesus was risen. And they were happy to go and tell everyone, there's a risen Christ. What a unique role they played. In Acts chapter 12, verse 13 to 14, we were told about the prayer in Mary, the mother of John's house. They were praying for Peter, who was already bound up. He was in prison. And they were praying for Peter, who was one of the apostles and one of the disciples. And what is also so unique about there is that when Peter knocked on the door, it was not a man that opened the door, it was a woman. It was a Rhoda, a small girl, a damsel that opened the door. So what am I saying here? There's a role for women in Jesus' ministry and in the development of the gospel. These women played a major role. You know what Jesus said to Mary when she poured the oil on Jesus' feet and cleaned it with her head? He said, wherever the gospel is preached, your name will be mentioned. Wherever the gospel is preached, your name will be mentioned. And till date, whenever we're reading that, we mention her name, we remember what she did. In Acts chapter 16, there was Lydia. And one thing that is unique about Lydia was that she was a church planter. She was using her substance to plant churches. She was encouraging people. The people were coming to her, and she would give them what she has as gift for them to be able to fellowship together. And when she died, that was why when she had that death and she was risen from death, what was the thing that the people were showing? They were showing, look at what she's done. The clothing, look at what she's done for us. This woman cannot die. She must not die because she's been good. She's part of this ministry. She's this. And God rose her from the dead. So she was a unique woman as well. She was mentioned in the scripture. Acts chapter 18, from verse 24 to 26. There was a man called Apollos. Interesting. The way the Bible described him was that he was eloquent and he was a good speaker. He was very eloquent and a good speaker. And he has the knowledge of the word, but the knowledge was limited to the baptism of John. Interesting. The knowledge was limited to the baptism of John. But do you know who mentored him? He was mentored by a woman, Priscilla and Aquila. He was mentored into the gospel of Jesus Christ by a woman, Priscilla and Aquila. And that was the mentoring that gave him the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So what does that say to us? These women have the knowledge of the word of Jesus Christ. That is why she was able to mentor this person into the word of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 21, verse 8 to 9, talks about the four daughters of Philip, the evangelist. They have the gift of prophecy. These are women. Romans 16, verse 1 to 2. Paul specifically commended Phoebe as a great helper to his ministry. As a great helper to his ministry. Romans 16, verse 17. We talked about a woman called Junia, who is of note among the apostles. Romans 16, verse 7. Junia. That she is of note among the apostles. Paul recommended her and said she was a woman of faith before him. That's the way Paul described in Romans 16, verse 17. Can you put that up for us, Nima? Verse 7, no, verse 16 verse 7. He said, no, 7, sorry. Salute Andronicus and Junior, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoner, who are of note among the apostles, who were also in Christ before me. Paul recognized their role. In recent time, that is much of what I went to in the Bible, but in recent time, we talked about the Welsh Revival. The Welsh Revival was brought about by women. I think it was two women who stayed together and were praying for God to visit again. Through their prayers, there were miraculous revival that happened, and the world knew a new wave of revival. And my prayer today is as we celebrate women, as we celebrate women today, as we remember our Maundering Sunday today, my prayer is that our faith as women should rise again. Our faith should be challenged by these names that we've mentioned to walk in the vineyard of God. There's a place for women's ministry in the household of faith. People walk with Jesus. Women that walk with Jesus were mentioned and they had a mark in the ministry. What is our role in the church today? How much are we pushing the gospel of Christ as women? How much are we following the course of salvation as women? You're not there to be a second place. You are there to walk side by side to make sure that the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached to the world. You are there to make sure that the name of the Lord is established among people. You are there to tell the world about Jesus Christ. It is not just coming in and just playing the role of women. It's playing the role of saved soul. Because we are all saved equally. We are all saved for a reason and for a purpose. And God is challenging you today as women because it's a special day. I can't preach any other thing than just to encourage women to say, look, God has called you into this role, into this position, for you to show forth the light of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I want to encourage you this morning, because that is what we are all called to do, to show forth the light of God. And as we celebrate Women's Day, as we celebrate, because not just the women, not just the Maundering Sunday, we also had the International Women's Day this week. And as we celebrate all this, I want to encourage you, not just celebrating in the world, but celebrating in Christ. Some of these great women that walked the walk with Christ, that have shown forth the glory of God in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And also for us to challenge ourselves and say, if these women can do it, if Martha can do it, if Mary can do it, if Junior can do it, if Mary Magdalene can do it, I also can do it. I can tell people of the glory that is in Christ Jesus. God bless you this morning, and happy Mother's Day. Thank you.